All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, January 2nd of 2025, and this is our first show of the year, so appreciate you guys tuning in. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. But with that said, looking ahead to today, we have a 12-game NHL slate and then a 6-game NBA slate. We unfortunately do not have Thursday night football for the first week in, it feels like forever. I think it was the beginning of September when we had our first Thursday night football game. So no Thursday night football, like 4 months later here, NFL season winding down, week 18 upon us, but still plenty of DFS to talk about here. So let's get SaberSim up. Let's get some questions in the queue. We had questions rolling in over the holiday. We have a question here about mobile, but it's a little bit less of like an office hours question and a little bit more of a troubleshooting type question, but it looks like some users jumped in here and helped out. So appreciate GM33. It looks like assisting on that one. We have a question here from Sequence. So we'll probably end up starting with this one. Some from Kenson. Drop this in here. Black Mamba with the question. Isaiah with the question. All right, cool beans. We'll start with these. All right, first question up. Happy New Year, Andrew. With golf back, could you discuss the poor ROI results where you receive when running various contests? Sim, here's an example from a DK build earlier today. Thanks. I haven't played any golf here today, so I want to go and check it out. I will say that, you know, on the DFS spectrum, I think it is a talked about point that golf is a little bit lower edge, mostly just because correlation isn't as important in golf, right? In golf, there is no, you know, stacking component. There is there's like wave splits, you know, and those things do matter, but like player to player correlation. So I think, like, you know, when you think about DFS, right, you think about like upside, correlation, ownership, and when you take one of those components away, it makes the game a little bit simpler, I would say here, right? So ultimately, I think the edge in golf could just be a little bit tougher, or golf could just be a little bit tougher to beat. I think the second thing is that it's going to come down to the type of contest you're playing too. You know, the screenshot that you posted, it looked like to be a little bit flatter payout structure type contests, right? Typically the flatter the payout structure, the worse that is for sim ROI. And this isn't really something that we noticed until we started using contest sims more. Like, I think a lot of people think that, you know, inherently flat payout structures are better, right? Just because it reduces the variance. But from at least what we could tell, at least from our post-contest sims and everything that we've seen, a little bit steeper payout structure ends up being better for sim ROI, because when you do win, you get so much more of the first place prize, and winning is already hard enough as it is. Now imagine, you know, winning and then getting, you know, less of that first place prize. So I'm not 100% sure why that works, but that's just kind of the feedback we've gotten from the Sims, at least in the last, you know, 15 months that we've had the contest sim. So those are my thoughts there. Definitely okay to, you know, I'm not like grounded in any of those ideas or takes. So if anybody wants to start a discussion there, I'm happy to hear other opinions and stuff. All right. Next question. Is there a way to set a minimum projected saber score on your builds? Also, when looking at contest flashback, is there a way to see the average saber sim score for an individual set of 150 lineups? And then they corrected and said minimum saber score. So there isn't a way to set a minimum saber score. And the reason for that is if you go to like these rules, you go to add new rule, you go to aggregate, you go to this drop down. This is where you would do that from. Okay. So everything in this drop down, in this aggregate drop down, are the variables available to you to set on a lineup level prior to the build. Now, the reason that Saber score is not on here, mostly the biggest reason it's not on here is two things. And I'm just going to build 200 lineups here so we could talk about this a little bit more. So let's let these lineups run. All right, build's done. We're talking about Saber score here, so I'm just going to go to Saber score. So when you go to Saber score and you go to the eye icon for any Saber score, you're going to see these three variables, right? Some projection, 95th percentile, average adjusted ownership. So this 95th percentile one, right? This is referring to the lineup as a whole. So what happens here is we build the lineup. Lineup goes into your pool. After the lineup is built, we go back into the sims we used when we built this lineup. And we say, hey, how did this set of, here it's eight players do across all of our sims? And then we get the lineup percentiles. So the lineup percentiles are actually generated after the lineup is built, which is why we can't set lineup percentile as a rule before, because it's just kind of something that occurs after the fact. And then the lineup percentiles are going to be different based on the combination of players in each lineup. So there isn't a way to set a minimum saber score prior to running a build. Now, second, is there a way to see the average or the minimum saber score for an individual set of 150 lineups? So I don't believe this is a post contest sim variable. However, I do think we could generate that. So let's just check to see if it's here first. Let's open this up. Okay, let's go to users, close these. So I'm almost positive we could do that. I don't know if there's things that there's obviously a lot of things I don't know that could lead to that not being true. But what I could do is I could take that back to the team as a feature request, because I feel like we have all the variables to do that. So average saber score flashback. So let me take that back to the team as a feature request, but I'm almost positive we could do that. All right. By chance, can you go over the process of adjusting exposure / leverage in an NBA late swap? Second question. Okay, so let's go one at a time. I cannot do this at this exact moment because I don't have a late swap available. However, this process is very, very similar to pre-built autofill. So we can at least do that. So why don't we do that? And we'll talk about some of the similarities. So I know I have an entries file for this turbo slate just due to not being able to be around for the late games tonight, unfortunately. So this is probably like important, right? I have plans tonight and I know I cannot be around for the late games. I'm not going to be near a computer. I'm not going to be able to do it on mobile. These 7:30 games, my time, I'm not going to be around for them. So what I decided to do today was I decided to play just the Turbo Slate, right? I'm playing the DK Turbo and the FanDuel Turbo for these 5 p.m. Pacific time games. I think that, you know, is an important thing to be aware of. Like, hey, am I going to be around a late swap? Am I going to be able to pay attention and able to, you know, get what I need to do done so I don't lose my edge, right? So tonight, can't be around. Decided to only play the Turbos. Totally okay, right? So it's okay to play some of these alt slates. All right, going back here. Let's open up a build. And let's run some lineups. We're just going to build 2,000 lineups. I don't know why it said rebuild. I don't think I kicked off a build yet, but either way, I'm like almost positive I did not have lineups. And I'm going to check something else while this builds. Almost done building. This last little bit is crawling, but over 1,900 out of 2,000. All right, so we're in the post build here. So late swap is effectively just autofill. Okay, so the important thing, see, we're in the pre-build right now, right? And right now, we don't have an exposure column, and our entry exposure is all zero. That's because we haven't put any lineups into these contests. So in pre-build, what you need to do is you need to save the lineups. The lineups go into the contests, and then you go review them, right? And then I'm going to go to my projections. Now I have an exposure column. Now I can start analyzing them, right? This is like effectively your base, okay? Now what you can do is start adjusting minimax exposures, looking at your leverages. Let's say, you know, I don't want 85% Dayron Sharp. Maybe I want 50%. Maybe I want 50% hardened, right? And let's just say I start adjusting some stuff, right? Okay, great. I set 50% max exposure to three players. I go back to my autofill screen. Notice I have the ignore minimax exposures checked for my single entries. That way, you know, I'm still able to get some of those players or all of those players in my single entries. And then I click save again. Okay. Projections are the lineups go back into my contest with my updated parameters. And then now I can go and check again. Okay, look, those three guys that I have 50% max exposure to, that I added it to, great. It all got honored, right? So with autofill, you know, a lot of people think, I think this is where a lot of people get tripped up, right? Saving, it's okay to save more than once. I think that's the important part. You can save, adjust as many times as you want. And you are never tied to these lineups until you actually download them and upload them to the fantasy site, right? So you can sit here, save, adjust, tinker, look at leverages, do whatever you want. And then once you're finally happy, right? Once you've saved, you look at these exposures, your leverages, you're finally happy with them. Then download the lineups and then upload them to the fantasy site. Okay. So this pre-slate autofill and the late swap work the same. So this should carry over for both. You know, you can come in here, you can click the contest drop down and you could look at your lineups, right? You could look at additional metrics if you're running contest sims and things like that, right? So you can see all that data, you can analyze it, and then you can just resave as many times as you need to. Okay. All right, good stuff there. Next question. How is McBride missed last night, messed up 90% of my lineups? So Miles McBride was announced starting yesterday, and he was ruled out after lock. Apparently, he got ruled out like way after lock. Like he was announced in the starting lineup, and then let me see. So this is the way it went. So he was announced starting, and then the lineup was updated to have campaign starting. And this happened 10 minutes after the game started. And then a tweet was sent out saying Miles McBride not on the bench to start the game. And then he was questionable. And then he never came out of the locker room. And then it was announced that he wasn't going to play at all. So this is effectively why there's late swap edge in the NBA, because they do foolish things like this. And sometimes, you know, usually news is just like close to lock, but sometimes it's after lock. It just shows you like how bad this stuff is in the NBA. So super unfortunate situation. You know, he was obviously in a really good spot starting with Brunson out. And, you know, we saw like campaign ended up doing really good in place of McBride. So sometimes these things happen. They happen a couple times a season and there's nothing you can do about them, unfortunately. All right. If I set min or max exposures during an NBA late swap build, what will that do? Will I get this exact amount I set at min or cap at max? So ideally what will happen is it will fall within a range, right? Like if you say, okay, hey, I'm on Hartenstein between like 40 and 60, it should fall within this number, right? Sometimes there's going to be reasons why we can't meet it perfectly, right? But we're going to try. So sometimes it could be salary things. Sometimes it could be positional eligibility. It could be a number of different factors. But ideally, if you set these minimax exposures, and then if you're not meeting them originally, right? Like let's say you run your late swap, you set them, you resave. Let's say the builder doesn't meet it, right? Then I would finish setting all your other minimax exposures. And then I would use the rebuild lineups button, or this would effectively be rebuild swaps at that point. So I would use that button to see if the builder can meet it on a fresh build. And then if it can't, I would just leave it, letting the builder get as close to your recommendations as possible. Okay. So that's the way, like the workflow there that you kind of want to follow. Cliff said, does SaberSim have NBA starting five sims coming in the future? Cliff, I'm not 100% sure what you're referring to. The only thing that I can think of is like, hey, I want to put these five players as the starting players and sim the game from there. If you're referring to that, I'm not, I don't know. If we did, it would definitely not be this NBA season with about 3 to 4 months left, including, you know, as we start to get into like, that's just like for the regular season, right? Like 3 to 4 months left. So I'm not 100% sure what the outlook is on something like that for next season and beyond. But I know that's not something we're looking for, looking to do immediately. All right. Good stuff so far. Let me circle back to the Office Hours channel and see if we have any additional questions rolling in there. We do. Perfect. So let me grab those, drop them in the queue, keep everything rolling. All right. Next question. All right. Two questions. When changing mini uniques and max exposure, what happened to the apply button to apply it to the Sims? Okay. So the apply button got relocated. If I just set a new one. And so like, let's say I'm doing it in direct fill, right? The apply button got moved to this lineups pane next to the save button. Okay. So apply used to be like over here next to filters, it got moved over here next to saved a contest. We realize that this is probably a good change for desktop, but this is actually not a good change for mobile, because on mobile you could set your exposures and then you can't really see the apply button unless you move over to lineups, which if you use mobile, you know a little bit more what I'm talking about. But we are going to add the apply button back on mobile specifically. It's just something that we didn't catch immediately. So right now, the apply button is only in this lineup section. If you're on mobile, switch over to lineups. You can click apply. The apply button will be coming back very, very soon for mobile on the projections page. So you could set your stuff and just apply on the same screen. All right, next question. How do you feel about NFL on Sunday with so many players missing and starters resting? I think these opportunities are a good place for Edge. I think it's a opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into, you know, who's playing for what, who's resting, curating your player pool, maybe taking some shots on, you know, players chasing incentives, players chasing, different stats and things like that, right? Like I personally feel, you know, players care about, you know, their accolades, and, you know, they definitely care about, you know, making extra money, right? So, you know, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, needs 86 yards to, you know, get $200,000 or something like that, right? I genuinely think these players care about that. And I think that, you know, you could take those things into account, right? In your sims, like, hey, you know, who's a wide receiver, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. Needs, you know, 92 yards to break the Jaguars rookie record. And, you know, the sims have him for like 75 yards, you know, maybe you give him like a 1.5 point, like, increase or something like that. Right. Maybe take a shot. Like, I don't know, you know? So I think that the more questionable things are, the more edge there is if you are paying close enough attention, right? So I think, like, players resting, you know, week 18, coach interviews, you know, beat writers, like, you can watch those things and learn and maybe get hints about, you know, oh, so-and-so is going to get, you know, extra playing time. Like, I thought a really interesting one, you know, the 49ers have not, like, featured Ricky Pearsall, like, all year. And obviously their season's, like, basically over. And he had, like, a huge game on, like, Monday night. And I almost feel like, he's like, hey, like, let's see, like, what this rookie has, you know, let's see, like, if we can, you know, if we made a good choice here. And I think you're going to see a little bit more of that in week 18. So those are just my thoughts. Obviously not an expert there, but if I were to make an opinion there, that's what I'd be thinking. All right, next question. What does leverage mean again? So leverage column, if you hover over it, it'll give you a definition. So it says, shows your leverage on the field by calculating your exposure to a player minus projected ownership to that player. So all we're doing is just saying, hey, Giannis is in 83.3% of your lineups. He is 46% owned by the field. That means that you have 37% more of this player than the average user does. So, you know, the field, you know, let's say he's 50% owned, right? Well, if he does bad, you know, 50% of the lineups in the contest go down with him. And then if he does good, 50%, you know, are still, like, alive. Well, if you have, you know, 75% of him, well, now that's different for you, right? You want him to do good because more of your lineups will carry on. And then if he does bad, then more of your lineups will, you know, tank with him, right? So that's all that leverage is describing. All right. Deshaun said, are you trimming your player pool down as the NBA season has went along, kind of like setting a min projection filter? I set a small minimum projection filter basically just to get rid of guys with, like, who might not even play the game, right? Like, I'll do something like super low. Like, if, you know, this under, you know, like, five, right? Like, min projection of five, get rid of these guys that, like, might not even play, like get in the game at all. You know, I'm kind of okay with like any of these other players. This is obviously in regards to like a two game slate. I think you can go higher if it's like a bigger slate, right? If we're talking about like the NBA main slate tonight, okay, you know, you want to go a little bit higher. You know, you can look at ownership projections too, right? So if we just sort by projection and then we go down here, you know, when you get into like this, like 14, 13, you know, we start to see some low ownership projections, 12, you know, even here, right? You want to do something like 10 again. Like a lot of these players under 10 have like little to no ownership. So I think it's okay to curate your player pool in general. I think curating your player pool is fine, is a good thing. And, you know, you ultimately want to be comfortable playing every single player. Like you never want to look at when your line was like, why did I play this guy? Like chances are you probably didn't curate your player pool enough at that point. Oh, okay. I know what Cliff is talking about here. So Cliff is talking about a new type of DK contest format called Starting Five, where I think the format is like you pick the highest scoring player at each position, and I think it's like uncapped salary. It might be uncapped salary. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think we're going to be supporting that. You know, we're not. There are some formats where we just don't support, you know, like DraftKings tried running an NFL Superflex like for a while. And like, we kind of decided to like sit and wait, and then they ended up like getting rid of it. I don't know if that's going to happen with NBA Starting Five, but I am like pretty sure we're more focused on like classic and showdown formats. And, with some of these alt formats, we typically like to wait and see if they actually, you know, get some traction and stick around before we start dedicating resources to supporting those type of formats. But all right, I think we're all caught up here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, Friday. I almost said Tuesday, Friday here for our next office hours. So appreciate everybody tuning in. Good luck today in your DFS contest. Until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.